Welcome to CRC. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Let's pray. Let's hold our hands together even as we say this word, our Father. In the name of Jesus. We receive
revelation that is found in your word. We see Christ as he sees us in himself. He's glorified. We are edified. We receive your word in its simplicity, clarity, and accuracy.
There's no error
in our minds as we receive your word.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just quickly, it will just be a little short exhortation before we leave. We just have to put in one or two intro. Let's just have a little intro, then we'll pick it up from here tomorrow by 9 a.m. 9 a.m. first session, second session, five, right? By 4 p.m. 4 p.m. is second session. Hallelujah. So is it 4 or 5? Okay, it's like 5. Okay. Alright, it's Holy Ghost service. Glory to God. We have a Holy Ghost service. Holy Ghost service. Holy Ghost service. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, verses 15. It says, and that from childhood you have, Second Timothy 2. It says, verse 15, it says, be diligent. I like to read from the old King James. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. The New King James will put it this way. It said, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. Take this. When you use the word study, it's the word that implied spoudazo in the Greek. Spoudazo. It's a word that means to be eager, to be earnest, to be eager, to be earnest. It shows one's eagerness. You find that word used in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, when Paul wrote and said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the faith. That's the word endeavoring. To keep the unity of the faith. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 10, is the word that is translated forward. Verse 10, forward. It says, they desire only that we would remember the poor, but the very thing which I was eager in the New King James. The old King James would call it forward to do. It's the word eager. I was forward, I was eager to do. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17, the same word is used as to endeavor. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 17. It says, but we, brethren, haven't been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly. That's the word endeavor. You know, it's an endeavored more eagerly to see your face. It shows one's effort, right? Right? It shows the effort of the one involved. So, it's a word that would mean one's effort, one's labor. So when he says, study to show yourself approved, you could say, put in effort, right? Put in effort. Labor is a word you can use. Labor. Put in effort. Do you understand me? So because it shows your effort. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
In 2 Timothy, where we are, chapter 4, verse 9, just before where we got, after what we got to, verse 9, use the same word. He said, this is the faithful saying. Sorry, 2 Timothy 4:9. Sorry, he told Timothy, he said, be diligent to come to me quickly. That word, that's the word diligent. Be eager, be earnest. He shows Timothy's effort in coming to him. You find the same word too in Titus 3:12 and Hebrews 4 verse 11. He said, let us labor in Hebrews 4:11. Let us be eager. Hallelujah. We're just looking at those words. Back to 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. It says be diligent, which is, we've seen it. It means to what? Put in effort, right? That's the word, be diligent, right? Put in effort. You know, the believer's work is about putting in effort. Our service to the Lord is about putting in effort. Right? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
We'll get to that shortly. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Once effort is needed. Well, let's go ahead. It says, be diligent to present yourself approved. Let's look at that word approve. That is the word dokimos in the Greek. Dokimos. D-O-K-I-M-O-S. Dokimos. It is the word that implies to prove something. Or someone to prove, to test. We have the word dokimaizo from there. Dokimaizo. So dokimaizo will be the noun, right? Be the noun. Now it says, you find that word in Romans 14:18, dokimos. Romans 14 verse 18. I want us to go with it together. Romans 14 verse 18. It says, for he who serves Christ in these things is accepted to God and approved by men. Is what? Accepted to God and approved by men. In Romans 16 verse 10, it uses the same word. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of what? Aristobulus. It says he's approved in Christ, approved, accepted in Christ, approved. Well, we are looking at something, we are looking at two words, right? Approved by men, right? Right? Well, we just saw two words now. One word used two different ways. Approved by men, accepted in Christ, right? In chapter 16, it said approved in Christ, right? Okay, 1 Corinthians 11:9. It says, nor was man created for the woman. Sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 19. Sorry. It says, for there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized amongst you. Those who are approved may be recognized amongst you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 18. This is the word, for not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. Meaning the approver is of the Lord. Right? Right?
Yeah.
Chapter 13, verse 7 of that same 2 Corinthians. It says, at least I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Least I should be exalted above measure. Oh, sorry, I'm reading chapter 12. Look at chapter 13, sorry. Chapter 13, verse 7, sorry. Chapter 13, verse 7. It says, "Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we might seem disqualified." Right? You find the same word in James 1, verse 12. James 1, 12. We are setting forth an introduction for tomorrow. James 1, 12. It says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord had promised to those who love him." Now let's look at something quickly. From what we have seen, the word approved, is it for God? The approval of the believer, is it for God? No. Hallelujah. What we've seen, we'll see approved in Christ, right? Approved of God, right? The approval is of God to man world. So man will see the approval of God in our conduct, right? Right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's see something. So if you go back to 2 Timothy and you read, it will be studied to show thyself not approved to God. Because our approval is from where?
From
God. We are approved of God, right? So it will be studied to show yourself approved of God, right? Right? Or you can say study to show yourself approved by God. Now, quickly, let's go back to that 2 Timothy. Where or how do we know? Look at that 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll read, we'll understand pretext and post-text, right? Right? Now look at verse 14. It says, "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of their hearers." What is he telling Timothy to do? To preach, right? Right? To remind them in what? In preaching. Now look at verse 16. As though verse 15 is not there. Let's just read from verse 14 and 16. We are skipping verse 15. It says, let's just read verse 14 and 16 as if there is no verse 15. Then we'll see what verse 16 is all about. Then we'll see what verse 15 is all about, right? Hallelujah. Look at verse 14. "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive for words to no profit, to the ruin of their hearers, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness." What is he asking him to do? To preach, right? Let's communicate. To preach, right? Hallelujah. Can you see that? So therefore, if you bring in verse 15, Pastor Shago will call it how to read scripture for a dumb Christian, where you take away a verse. Hallelujah. That is Bible interpretation for the dumbest believer. Mind that word. Do you understand? Because when you take away, when people argue over scriptures too much, just say, okay, you know what? Take away that verse. Just let's pretend that verse is not there. Read before, read after. When you read before and read after, what he's saying is what that verse is just emphasizing. Do you understand? Very simple way to. Do you understand that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he's telling him to preach the gospel. Now, when he now said, study to show thyself approved, what is he referring to? He's talking about it in relation to what, how he will present the gospel. Do you understand me? Now he says, study to show thyself approved of God. To who? In the way he will do that, in the way he explains scriptures. You understand me? To correct those who use what? Eh? vain blabblings. Hallelujah. Amen. Who strive over words that do not profit. And that is what? False doctrine.
Do you understand me? That is false doctrine.
The teaching of the Antichrist, or the Antichrist itself. The message of the Antichrist. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he said, it is not actually approved to God, but approved of God. Right? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now let's look at that verse again. So we've gotten that, right? He said, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. He said, rightly dividing the words of truth. Look at that word, rightly dividing the words of truth. It's the word that implies, rightly dividing the words of truth, is what that means, ototomio logos ale. Okay, let me take it again. Ototomio logos aletia, which is the word rightly dividing the words logos of truth, aletia. Let's take it one by it. Ototomio. Ototomio. Okay. Ototomio. O-R-T-H-O-T-O-M-E-O. Ototomio. It's the word that implies to make straight. To make straight. Or to make a straight cut. You know what it means? To make a straight cut. An accurate cut. That's what it means. A word that is used to describe how surgery is done. How surgeon carry out surgical operation. In that word, you will find carefulness. And concentration. Concentration. You will find carefulness in that word. Othotomio. So Paul is telling Timothy how we should present scripture, how scripture should be handled. He says scripture should be handled how? With carefulness. Do you understand? With carefulness. I used to tell people, when you don't feel like, when you feel like it's boring, or if you feel, when you don't feel like to study, study. Do you understand me? When you don't feel, because why? You have an instruction to do that. It says, be eager. Right? Hallelujah. When you don't feel like, you do it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, that's not what we're talking about today. It says, this tells how scripture should be handled. With carefulness. With carefulness. So the disciple of Christ should handle the word, should handle scriptural interpretation with carefulness. He should not be in a haste. He should not be in a haste to arrive at unlogical conclusions. The disciple of Christ should not be in a haste. He will be careful. He calls it the word of truth. The word of truth. Do you understand me? The word logos aletheia. The word of truth. So it should be handled with carefulness and truthfulness. I would like to add that. And truthfulness. The scripture should be handled with truthfulness. Are you hearing me? Truthfulness. Very important. So this calls for concentrated attention. Calls for concentrated attention. You should not be loose in the way you handle scriptures. It must not be loosed. In fact, the way you handle scripture should be, you should be rigid in the way you handle scripture. Can we be flexible? No, not with scriptures. Be rigid. Be rigid to the point that it is what you study that you teach. Do you understand me? The point to teach is not the point for showmanship. No. Do you understand? Hallelujah. So you should be rigid in that aspect. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he must handle biblical truth as he ought to be. Biblical truth should be handled biblical way, or the way it ought to be. No quick fix. Don't quote what you've not studied. Do you understand? It calls for carefulness, that word ototomio. You know, this is the reason why in chapter 3, verse 15 to 16, Paul will now call Timothy clever because of the way he handles it. That carefulness, that ototomio, that carefulness, the way he handles, the way he presents biblical truths. Look at chapter 3, verse 15. You know, sir, from a childhood, you've known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, word wise is the word sophizo. Sophizo. Clever. Is the word clever. Are you with me? Is the word clever. Timothy was able to present biblical truth the way it's supposed to be. And how did he understand it? In the light of salvation, right? Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Meaning, when Timothy went to the Old Testament, he wasn't seeing the fight. He wasn't seeing the fight, the David and Goliath, as a fight. No, he saw it in the light of salvation. When Timothy goes to the Old Testament and he sees serpents, he doesn't see serpents in the light of a snake. He sees serpents in the light of what? Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. When Timothy goes to the Old Testament and he sees water, he doesn't see water as Red Sea. He sees water as, he sees water in the light of what? Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. When Timothy goes to the Old Testament and he sees a rock or bread or manna, he doesn't see manna as being a bread. He sees manna as what? In the light of salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. When Timothy goes to the Old Testament and he sees Passover, he does not see Passover he does not see Passover as observing Sabbath day worship. No, he doesn't see the Passover bread as what we see today as communion. No, he sees it in the light of salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. When he goes to the Old Testament and he sees the Feast of Tabernacles, he doesn't see it as a celebration or as Pentecost. He sees it in the light of salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And Paul said that is how scriptures ought to be explained, in the light of salvation. When you talk about scripture, it's referring to the Old Testament here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So when he sees the Moabites, the Amalekites fighting with the Israelites, he doesn't see a war. No, he doesn't see enemies of the commonwealth of Israel. No, he sees it in the light of salvation. Did you get that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When he sees throne, and David sat on the throne, and David said, while sitting on the throne, the Lord said to my Lord, Yahweh says to Yahweh, sit at my right hand till I make the enemies your footstool. He wasn't seeing it. If you go there, he doesn't see it as being confused. Can my Lord say to my Lord? He sees it in the light of salvation. Did you see that?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When he goes to Genesis, he does not see Cain kill Abel outside salvation. He doesn't see Abel offer up a sacrifice outside salvation. He doesn't see a story. He doesn't see Joseph with a coat of many colors as a story. He sees last salvation first. That is what Paul is saying. He said, from your childhood, you've known the scriptures which are able to make thee wise, clever. Sophizo, wise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Meaning I would get to the Old Testament and I can see salvation available. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I will see salvation available there. When I see Abraham on Mount Moriah, I will see salvation in Mount Moriah. I will not see Abraham trying to kill his son and a ram appeared. Someone, you know, I heard somebody say something just some few days ago. He said Abraham could have killed Isaac. I said, you guys are just funny because you are not reading in the light of salvation. Do you understand? They would have killed Moses. I said, Moses would have killed Isaac. And I laughed. Do you know, if you read it in the light of salvation, you will know that Abraham knew what he was going there to do. And Jesus said, Abraham on Mount Moriah saw my day and he rejoiced. At Galilee, he rejoiced. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So very important. Meaning, amongst the events, the stories, Timothy was able to see salvation. Why? The next verse, verse 16. See, all scriptures is given by the inspiration of God. God will not inspire, listen, God will not inspire you to write history. Because you know you can learn history from the university. You understand me? God will not inspire you to write how to make money sharp, sharp. Because money is of the world. You can learn that in your university. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God will inspire you to write his work. God will inspire you to write his work. And what is his work? Salvation. So that means if God will inspire you to write God's work, that means what we would have written in the Old Testament will be God's work, which is salvation. And in the New Testament, salvation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So what we have as scripture is in the light of salvation. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Moses, let me call him Moses. Moses. Oh dear Moses. Okay. Don't worry. It's because understanding the gospel is just around the corner. So Moses is everywhere. Hallelujah. I took time out, that was a few days ago, to just ponder on Moses. I was just going through Moses. Hallelujah. So Moses, I haven't seen calling Moses again. Timothy's cleverness came from the fact that he was able to what? See the truth amongst the facts and ideas. Was able to see the truth. Was able to see salvation amongst facts and ideas. Amongst facts. Was able to see salvation through it. And Paul will use the word thou hast known. That is the word idol. Thou hast known. The word idol. Is the word or is a verb? Can I call it a verb now? Okay. Is a word that is used for how one recollects, how one remembers, right? So, for Paul to use the word idol, it then means what? Timothy had learned. So, Timothy's explanation or interpretation of scripture was some learning. Was some studying. Look at verse 10. He said, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life. Did you see that? You have carefully followed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, discipleship calls for carefulness. This is not a discipleship. We are not having discipleship seminar. We are having CFC. But I need to say this. Discipleship calls for carefulness in how you follow. You need to follow well. You need to listen well. You don't be in a haste to speak because your pastor, the one you are following, said something. You have to listen well. You have to listen to understand. You understand? Haha. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Very important. So, Timothy learned from Paul. So, for him to use the word idol, it means he had learned it. He had to learn. Right? He had to learn. He had to acquire the skillfulness or the skills of interpreting scriptures correctly. And who did he learn from? Paul. Do you understand? He had to learn it. You have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, carefully. So he learned it, he acquired it. And that is why that word sophizo is acquired. Sophizo is acquired. Do you understand me? It's acquired. You acquire it. It comes from training. Persistent training and careful following. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Timothy learned from Paul. 2 Timothy 2:2. The things which you've heard from me among many witnesses, you've heard from me, right? Which you've heard from me, we can say which you've learned from me, right? Which you've learned from me. So Timothy learned from Paul. So it's very important that in discipleship, you learn how to effectively interpret scriptures. Very, very important. And this is part of, this is very important. You learn how to carefully interpret scriptures. If you read Acts 2:42. Acts chapter 2, verse 32. We'll begin to round up. Mark 2:42. Remember, on Sunday, it was Sunday, right? It was Sunday we said, the things of the Spirit are learnt and are caught, right? Are taught and are caught. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Acts 2:42. Look at what happened, verse 42. He says, and they continue steadfastly, the new disciples, in the apostles' doctrine. That's the word didache. They continue the apostles. Didache means how scriptures is interpreted. Explanation of scripture. Meaning, what was the first thing that these new disciples were exposed to? How scriptures are what taught. How scriptures are explained. So it's very important. So when Jesus says in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 19, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me, therefore go and make disciples. Part of what the disciples will learn is scriptures, or how scriptures are interpreted.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me? How scriptures are interpreted. It's something you have to learn. There is no big man in it. There is not have been born again 10 years ago in it. There is no have been born again before you were born again. You have to learn it as a disciple. God doesn't... See, listen. You don't come to a local assembly or to a local church for nothing else other than discipleship. If you seek any other thing aside discipleship, you are not serious with your believer's growth. You're not serious with your spiritual life. So, discipleship should be, being a disciple should be, or being taught, let me use it that way, being taught should be the foremost in your heart. So when Jesus said, go here and make disciples, is the word matitio, which is to raise scholars, the way you enroll a child in your school. Go and raise students. How? Is it teaching them? So, what would they be taught? All Christ has taught you, right? Teach them to observe the things that I've commanded you. So, in teaching them to observe those things Christ has commanded, you also pay attention to what? How he explained scriptures. Hallelujah. So, it's very important. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And in this CRC, we'll be explaining scriptures. And we'll be looking at understanding the believer's authority. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's be on our feet. Glory to God.